Matures you and grows you and establishes you based on the word of God. But there is a prophetic teaching that is more what God is saying now, what God is doing, but you need understanding for you to carry the impact of that prayer. Amen?
Amen.
So what I want to share with you is a prophetic prayer for this moment. Amen.
Amen.
We were praying last on Friday night. Evening prayer, I think it was evening prayer. And there were things God has been stirring my spirit. Last night, as we were praying, there was a word that came as God was revealing in the midst of us and in the worship that there were angels that had palm trees in their hands and they were worshiping and celebrating. There are things that bears witness with my spirit that lets me know the time confirmation for a prayer and for a word. And that was a kind of a confirmation for what we're about to do this morning. Before I explain that more, I hope how many of you know that yesterday was Passover. Mm-hmm. It's a 24-hour process. It begins yesterday evening. The 14th day of the first month was Passover. Today is the 15th day. Today begins the counting of what they call the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the 7 days of Passover consecration. So, Passover celebration, like we know it, is really the place where God started, apart from all that God did from Noah to Abraham and all these people, revealing the power of the blood. But from the Passover was when more emphasis and revelation was put on the power of the blood. And God told the children of Israel to make this Passover a memorial for all generations. Basically, Passover is the power of the voice of the blood. That was emphasized on that day. The blood covenant. Power of the blood. So, for you to understand the weight of faith comes by hearing, for you to receive and take ownership of the prayer today and what you hear. When that word came about, the angels were having palms in their hand. Today is Palm Sunday. Amen. The beginning of our service today before the scripture from John 12. Palm Sunday. Some people who are watching, some people here might not understand what is Palm Sunday. I want to relate it to that vision I was saying about angels crying palm. Palm Sunday, as we call it, if you read from John 12, it says 6 days before Passover, John 12, Jesus was going to Jerusalem on Bethany. And this time, Jesus has been in Jerusalem for all his life, has ministered now for 3 years plus. But this time is a different week. It's a different season. And Jesus has been preparing his disciples for this moment. So as he was going to Jerusalem, after, of course, Lazarus and all these things that was raised from the dead, the people, something was different about Jesus at this time. And the people started gathering their clothes and putting it on the ground. Basically, they stored it like they were creating a red carpet for him. And Jesus before now told his disciples to go, two of his disciples to go provide some donkeys. And they went, as he told them, they brought the donkeys, and Jesus, they put the cloths on it, they sat on it, and they were putting their clothes on the ground. And then some of the people went, because all the Gospels talked about it, John related it in different ways. So if you put all together, you get a full picture. So some went and started cutting branches of trees, and John calls it palm trees. Amen? So they took it and they were waving it somewhere, putting it on the ground, and so that Jesus can pass. And that's when they started singing the song, Hosanna to the King. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Fulfilling the prophecy that says, behold, O Zion, your King will come to you riding upon a young donkey. What was this moment after Jesus has been in Jerusalem? He has gone to Passover all his life. He's gone to the feast all his life. What was different about this moment? It was a window for prophetic fulfillment. And this window was the time Jesus is now to officially dethrone Satan's power for the last 4,000 years. And he was going to dethrone Satan's power in a way that nobody expected that he was going to do it. But what the Jews perceived was, finally, the King has arrived. He's going to overthrow the Roman Empire. Now let's honor him. The Son of David has come. Prophecy has been fulfilled. Now we're going to reign with him. Now the King is come. But they did not understand. But they knew this is the King. But they did not know the strategy by which he was going to dethrone the powers of darkness. Amen?
Amen.
So the Son that he entered, it was, if you read the epistle, it was a terrifying thing to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he came in and cleansed the temple, did all kinds of things. But from that moment, Jesus every day was closer to the victory, what we call the cross today. He called his disciples right the evening before he was to be crucified. And he prepared the Passover. And it was a prophetic Passover. What today we read in 1 Corinthians 11, what today we read and we call it communion, Jesus spoke to them prophetically about what we call communion today. And he basically told them the revelation of the power of the blood, the covenant of a new blood line, because the old has been polluted and Satan has been reigning through that old bloodline of Adam. But he was telling them, now I am providing a new covenant, and this covenant and this promise will be based on my blood. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what we call communion. And then when, after establishing that with his disciples, then he revealed to them his secret in John 13. And this secret was how those who discover the power of this kingdom is about to give us his blood will not rule in pride, but there will be kings who wash the feet of those they serve. So he called them servant kings. Amen? Yeah. Servant rulers. Then he went to the cross, to the shock, to the surprise of the disciples and all these multitudes that were putting him on their horse and trying to say, finally the King that will dethrone the Roman Empire, that will finally give us back our reputation, take our reproach, all this physical expectation, to their shock, they found that he took the part of suffering. Isaiah 53. And he started a process, was confusing to his disciples, confusing to everybody. And really quick, so we can get to where we're going. He ended up a lamb. Disgraced and slain on the cross. Is that the King? Is that the one that we put our hope in? Is that the one we trust in? That will destroy our bondage, set us free, restore our dignity, restore everything that we've lost, spirit, soul, and money. And they were disappointed, and every one of them left confused. But note to them that Jesus has finally come to fulfill his assignment. To establish a spiritual kingdom that can only walk in the power of the Lord. A new bloodline. Amen? Amen. And so, from that time to this day, Satan lost his power. And a new bloodline of the kingdom of God was established. And see the song we sang, the children of God. Ever since then, when children are born to the kingdom of God, God is always looking to see those that will mature enough to know what blood they carry. That will mature enough to know that Satan has been defeated.
Amen.
And to help position themselves for the world to experience the authority the sons of God carry. Amen?
Amen.
So, Palm Sunday was an exercise that was done at a prophetic window of time that introduces the arrival of a victorious king.
Amen.
And whatever the strategy that he's coming with, you know that he's coming with a solution for victory.
Amen.
That's what Palm Sunday did. They never did it for the 33 years he was alive, except that week. Another reason for this, again to give it reason for this word, because of the vision of the Palm Sunday, is in 2 Kings chapter 9, there was a rule, just like before Jesus came, there was a religious rule of a spirit called Jezebel and Ahab. They have brought Israel under spiritual bondage and captivity. And nobody was right from left in this God. In that religion, nobody told them until as soon as Jehu was sent to the anointed, the purpose of the meeting was to destroy the power of Jezebel, the spirit that has held Israel in bondage for a long time. As soon as that anointing was released of Jehu, the Bible says all the commanders, all the military, all the people around Jehu took off their clothes and put it on the ground and created what is called like a carpet. In other words, they were now honoring him as king of Israel. As soon as Jehu received that, from that moment, Jehu stepped in as an anointed king and overthrew the powers that had been holding Israel captive for a long time. So I use this tool because it can be clothes, it can be palm trees, it can be whatever, to let you know that it doesn't just happen every Passover, every Pentecost or whatever. But when God reveals that there is an atmosphere that is in alignment with the season, as it is in heaven, so on earth, that's how prayers are done. You know that it's a confirmation of something fresh, a new season, being released of what God wants to do. So, this Palm Sunday, or this Passover, is not the traditional memorial celebration of Passover. We are crossing over.
Amen.
To a new season.
Amen.
It's not actually new. It actually started since 2019.
Yeah.
But it is building its momentum into what God is bringing us into. And we're going to pray, releasing us into places of breakthroughs. Amen?
Amen.
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 Now, I want to share with you why. Because We can pray and live, but the purpose of this sharing is for this to stay in your spirit. Why the blood will speak for you. It speaks for you all the time, whether you know it or not, but from today, you want to really know and hold on to it that the voice of the blood speaks. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to share from three scriptures. The rest will come naturally, but I'll read three scriptures. And the three scriptures are 12, 12, 12. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to read from Exodus 12, Hebrews 12, and Revelation 12. And every one of them talks about the voice of the Lord. Exodus 12, Hebrews 12, Revelation 12. And then we'll look at this prayer point. First, let's go to Exodus 12. Exodus chapter 12. Again, remember what we're doing today is God is also empowering you for your family. Exodus 12, and we're going to read really quick. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you, as God prophesied. And if you know, everyone of you know that from how many times you shared this best. This is the Hebrew prophetic calendar starting this March, April. That's what this month is. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th month, 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make the account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor soak it at all with water, but roast with fire, his head, his legs, with the... I'm reading this for the sake of the young ones and people that might not be able to follow the dimension of prayer. I just want to give them a background. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, which your loins gild them as a nation, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Skipping. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a sign upon the houses where you are. That word talking means signs. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will skip you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day, you shall put away leaven out of your houses. Consecration. For whoever eat unleavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And it goes on and on and on. And tell them to, when their children ask them of this, why they do this, they should tell it to their children from generation to generation, that God passed over Egypt. When God passed through Egypt, God passed over the children of Israel because of the blood of the Lamb. Should tell their children to all generations. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's now go to Hebrews 12. Amen?
Amen.
Read Exodus 12. Hebrews 12, it says, we'll just read from verse 22. But you, as the New Testament church, but you have come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made mature, made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks, has a voice, better things than that of Abraham.
Amen.
The Bible says when Cain killed Abel, the blood of Abel cried from the ground before the throne of God. But it says the blood of Jesus' voice speaks better, it's louder, more powerful than the blood of Abel. Now let's go to Revelations 12. Revelations 12. This is amazing. Let's read from verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and they prevailed not. Neither was their place found anywhere in heaven. And the great dragon, and the great dragon was cast. Listen to this. That old serpent, called the devil and Satan. Four names that characterizes the God of this world. Four. Which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Verse 11. And they what? Overcame him.
Amen.
That word overcome means they ruled. They have dominion. They have power. They overcame. They were victorious. They, who are they? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The Lord made their lives into that. Amen.
Amen.
We have read three scriptures, and amazingly, everyone speaks about the power of the blood, and everyone talks about the number 12. Amen.
Amen.
The first Exodus, we read in Exodus, describes a condition that God's children found themselves in after Joseph had left. Before they found themselves in that condition, God gave an example how he wanted his children to thrive in the earth. And Joseph, for example, and the children were in Goshen. But when sin came, or ignorance came, or whatever the enemy used, they said the generation that did not know Joseph. The enemy came, and I want to encourage us, I don't know how, but the Lord wants me to begin a teaching. It might be on Sunday night or Sunday morning. He wants me to unfold and reveal, unmask Satan, the devil, the dragon, and the serpent. Because that these whole attributes of Satan is why the sons of God don't know they are sons of God. We claim we are children of God, but those attributes of Satan is what has clustered our mindset. And God will expose all that in this season. So that's what happened in Egypt. People who ruled now became slaves because of deception and because of the manipulation of the Egyptian and their gods. How could you be ruling in Egypt, which is a symbol of where God places the church? The mountain of the Lord's house should be over every other mountain. All of a sudden, you went from that place to becoming slaves in Egypt for a long time. And a complete brainwashing, a complete mindset shift was established. And an identity was given to them that was not the identity. Under that condition, and those who live in that atmosphere, they live, and all they know is, how can this great God and the God of Abraham be? Is this what we're created to be? To live like this, in sickness, in this, in bondage, in poverty, and the taskmasters frustrating us every day. That is what the whole church of people saw as the kingdom of God. A kingdom that was subjugated to the world's culture, controlled by the world's culture, dominated by the world's culture. That was their impression of the limits of the kingdom of God. Until God raised up a son called Moses, matured. So what happened was, it happened to Israel, but it's symbolic of what Jesus came to do. And what Moses, God did to Moses, what God did to Israel, is what God does in every generation that cries out for the manifestation of the sons of God. What happened? Moses came. It was a time of breakthrough. It was a time of release. And a lamb, a animal, was used at that time, at that covenant. The blood of an animal was used to bring about their release. What does that mean? God revealed to Moses, but many times we don't understand it. Revealed to Moses that the enemy has held my people long enough. And the covenant I made with Abraham has to be fulfilled. So the hour has come that all their punishment is expired. But I know that the enemy is now become confident in his power, and the people are no match for the enemy. So I am going to do it myself. I am going to bring justice, and then I am going to bring the people out and restore my dignity back in their hearts. And I'm going to restore the God the Father knows about. I'm going to reintroduce myself to them. That I love them. I care about their health. I care about their finances. I care about their position. I care about them representing me in the earth correctly. So what did God do? God says, I am going to judge Egypt. I am going to judge the gods of Egypt, their spirits and the people. And what does judgment mean? It means I am going to dethrone them and I'm going to release my people. So, anytime that God wants to deal such a blow that we have lost the capacity to allow God to move, there must be an exchange. There must be a substitute for those who will survive it. Because the judgment is upon all. And God told Moses, the only way anybody in Egypt will escape the judgment of the firstborn, will escape this judgment that will cause the enemy to release my people into their destiny, will be a substitute. Because the whole nation is under a curse of judgment. So God told Moses, prepare a clean lamp, a substitute for the protection of every Jew. So that in place of every Jew, something else must die in their place, because it's judgment time. So the lamb was killed for every home, and the blood was a sign, a token. He said, wherever the blood is, means judgment is already taking place, you have to skip it. You can't judge what is already being judged. You can't judge when death is already served its purpose. So anywhere you see the blood, judgment has passed on something. So the blood of goats and sheep was substituted for the salvation of the children of Israel. And every other Egyptian home, every home in Egypt experienced the judgment of God. And their gods, and that was what awakened Pharaoh and the people of Egypt, that there is a God in heaven who executes righteousness and justice. Pays. And that's what God feared to Pharaoh, feared to the people of the world, Egypt, and they said, take the money, take everything that belongs to you, go. And everybody knew the God of Israel has risen. They did not leave any sick, they did not leave any poor. They emptied, they inherited what came with that blood. So whenever you hear about the judgments of the Lord, something has to pay the price for others to escape. Because the wages of sin is death. So that became a symbol of the lamb. And the children of Israel, through the blood of bulls and goats, entered into a new atmosphere. And it was an introduction of God saying, welcome back to me. Now, let me tell you what the kingdom is all about. I will take care of you without money. I will take care of you without this. I will take care of you because your kingdom has power to take care of every need you have. We are not going into that direction of the mystery of the wilderness. But it was God told to me, he says, when a child is born, a little child, all of us, what do you do with the child that's born? You train the child, isn't it? But when we are born spiritually, we've not been taught that we need to be trained in the way of faith. So sometimes we grow 30 years in church and still depends on the world system. There's a big difference. So what happened is God brought them out. They were now introduced to the kingdom. God established a constitution. God established a nation. God now gave them his pattern of doing things, how he can dwell in their midst, how he walk with them, gave them promises, gave them a way to live, and then gave them a promise. Well, look at that. Inheritance. And that inheritance, they will possess it. So, let's stop there. From what you just heard, there was a shift. The prophets came. One of the prophets' names was Joel. And Joel lived in a generation where Israel has now backslidden, and they found themselves again. They were not in Egypt, but they were in a culture in Israel, in an atmosphere where they had nothing again. There was no rain, there was no, it was bad. And the generation that was grown in that place did not understand really what God is about. Because how can we have God and we don't have food, we don't have wine, our trees are dry. So there was a spiritual drought. And Joel prophesied that after they come to repentance, God was going to do something. God will restore back to them everything that has been taken from them. Everything that you can't come on below. But in other words, the way you live now, the things you're going to, is not the way it was meant to be. You have been robbed. But I am going to now restore those years so that once again you'll be my people and you'll understand what it means to be God's people. There will be plenty of everything that was lacking.
Amen.
And he describes it as a different in atmosphere from a winter or a drought to spring season. Amen. So Jonah now said, he's also going to be spiritual. That God will pour out his spirit upon our flesh, and God will do this, God will do that. So nobody understood that until Jesus came. What happened with Jesus? A type and shadow. On this first month we are in, after Jesus lived about 33 years, served 30 years of preparation, the third year of serving the ministry, he's now preparing to leave. He now established what we call this, which is the Palm Sunday, the day we are, this first month. And it was this very season, the same season that God sent Moses to Egypt. There has been that season all through history, but this time it was a different atmosphere. God now sent Jesus. And Jesus says, the time has come for me to die for the sins of the world. You all know the story. So what happened? I told you earlier before we started. Satan robbed. It comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He robbed the first Adam, the first place of authority and dominion God gave to man. He robbed them. Those are the things we share in the future, how that happens. He robbed them and took over the atmosphere of the earth to sin. And because now sin, Satan rules the world for almost 4,000 years, there must be a price paid for sin. Amen?
Amen.
And this time, the blood of bulls and goats cannot, because it's all corrupted. God himself came through his own son. And on this very week, this very season, a Passover took place.
Amen.
Jesus became the Lamb of the cross. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. Good Friday, next Friday, because of this. Jesus now took on,
with a pure blood, sinless, now took on a substitute for the whole human race. Because of the sin of the first Adam, the second Adam from heaven has to pay the price. Amen?
Amen.
So what did Jesus do? He did something called substitution. God's judgment has come. This is season. And God was going to judge the firstborn, judge the world. And Jesus says, I am taking on the sin of the whole world. Spare the world. Let me be judged in their place. Let me take on the sin of Adam. Let me take on the rebellion. Let me take on everything on me. And let me be judged. Not only me be judged, but let everything I have be exchanged for them. Amen?
Amen.
Substitute. Amen?
Amen?
There's so much to this. But before we pray, you have to really grab this. There's a time you say enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't come by you shouting and screaming. It comes by revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said Jesus didn't die in vain. So, the substitute, Jesus, became sin. Jesus put on everything that sin can bring. Every judgment, every consequence of sin on his flesh. Amen?
Amen.
And he paid the full price. Why did he pay the full price? I just told you people, the most powerful weapon of Satan is accusation.
Mm-hmm.
That word accuser is the word in the court called plaintiff.
Mm-hmm.
That word plaintiff is somebody who takes you and say, you are guilty of this or you are not. And you take it before. Satan's power in the earth has been accusing man of sin before God. So he's in control. So the only way Jesus could defeat the accusation and release human race was to pay the price for accusation. And that was sin. And it was his blood. Why are people living in condemnation? They're still ignorant of the power of the blood. So Jesus took everything and exchanged it. And from that point, he says, anybody that will say, I am a sinner and I'm guilty, my life is destined to hell, I'm a sinner. But now, I repent of my sin and I receive Jesus. What he has done for me.
Jesus.
I receive him. Immediately you enter into that bloodline. And that bloodline, Revelation says, Satan in all his power, from Satan to devil to dragon to that, cannot accuse you. Because you overcome by this blood. My brothers and sisters, it's not a confession of the blood. It's a nature you're born into. It's a family you're born into. Like you're born into a natural family. Amen?
Amen.
So, the word, the blood redeemed. Redeemed means bought back. Jesus' blood bought sin caused man to lose.
Amen.
So now he says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and all that they're even bought back. We're not going there, but the Lord spoke to me recently, and that's the season this year we'll see it. He says, when sons and daughters mature, they begin to claim what belongs to their father.
Yeah,
because Satan is a thief. He will not release anything until you know that you own it. And only mature sons truly believe they own yourself. And those are the only people Satan listens to. Paul, I know Jesus.
So God is awakening us to our true identity and maturity. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what happened. Jesus came, and as soon as Jesus did that, defeated him, did all those things, Jesus now raised up a generation called the church. The sons of God. The children of God. And they began a spiritual kingdom as it is in heaven on earth. We call it the apostles, the book of Acts. That was the first phase. Amen? So really quickly, so if you see the first season, the first outpouring, you might call it the early reign of Moses, Jesus fulfilled it spiritually, isn't it?
Yes.
As the early church, the beginning, the first reign, they call it the early move of God. But then, another thing happened. Moses left, and then God raised up Joshua. He raised up Joshua after 40 years in the wilderness, and then Joshua started again on the first month. On this first month, a new move of God started. And this time is for Israel physically to possess their inheritance, their promised land. And it was a different move of God. But the same thing happened. Moses started with Passover, and then we crossed over Red Sea. Joshua started with crossover and then Passover. Circumcision. That's not where we're going. But all that happened, and then they entered into their inheritance. Always, why? The blood. Because it was based on circumcision. Sonship. And they inherited the promised land. So for us, Moses was the early, Joshua was the latter. The early apostles was the early, we are the latter. And so we are in the dispensation of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord.
And the Bible says, the last move of God, God is going to release not just what happened at the first move of God, the year of the acceptable year of the Lord and favor of the Lord, but the last move always has to do with the year of the vengeance of the Lord. So now, this move of God we're entering into, that God is preparing us to start walking into, has to not only do with favor, but has to do with vengeance. Again, I share with you, why vengeance? Because the enemy has built a stronghold. And the enemy has stolen and has established himself as God. And the children of God are too in captivity to take what belongs to them. So God always comes in the latter moves with favor and with justice. So that's this move of God.
Wow.
How does that work? That's what we're about to see. The COVID was a sign of the beginning of God getting the attention of the world that is about to do something. This year, beginning from this season, things are going to change.
Amen.
Because God has been silent, and the church we know it has been like the church that has been in the wilderness, or the church that has been in captivity. Our generation doesn't know what it looks like when God says, I am God.
Amen.
This year, we will know that.
Amen.
Now, you know, before Jesus went to the cross, they experienced the Palm Sunday and all these little signs here and there. They didn't understand the rest of the stuff. But there are signs, when you read the handwriting, when you listen to the Lord, you know things are on the way. And they prepare the people. God has been preparing us. God has been preparing us. And the COVID was one of the signs. God has been preparing us because in Egypt, in Babylon, in the wilderness, all God is trying to do is to break a mindset, not that we don't live in this world, but our dependency should never be on this world. Everything in this world does not have the capacity to stand the shaking.
everything that can be shaken cannot be God. God is an unshakable kingdom, sustainable kingdom, unlimited kingdom, a kingdom that does not know winter, summer, a kingdom that flourishes in every season.
Amen.
So God doesn't want our faith to be in things that are shaken. But we have been in that place too much. There's so much you can see and skip here and skip there and skip there. God opened my eyes to see why he says, you cannot serve God and money. When he opened my eyes to what money really is to the world system, I was shocked. That's what it is to the church today. So God says, in the last days, I know what I'm going to do to redeem my people, to restore my glory. It will be a shaking. But my people will not listen, they will not understand because they are so already comfortable in the world system. So I'm going to give them incremental signs to get into the ark before it's too late. The ark means God's place of security and provision in the last days. So what did God do with the COVID? God wanted to shake, to begin a process, allow the process to begin to gradually take our focus of depending on the system and the culture. And begin to quickly reverse our confidence in God because of where things are going. But guess what? The slumber button is still on. So, beginning from this season, by faith, God wants to call us out to come out from among them. I'm not saying physically. We are still here, but God wants to release us. That release is to position in us, and that's a prayer. To position us, to call us out, so that we can begin, even before things begin to happen, to begin to restore our place as mature children of God. So our prayers, even with the children of Israel, let me explain what this prayer does. Before they enter the promised land, God told Moses, he says, circumcise all the young people. Because every one of them that was born in the wilderness from when they came out of Egypt, they were uncircumcised. What does it mean? They were still carrying the Egyptian identity, even as God's children. So circumcision is a place of surrender where you begin to shift in the mindset and the identity and begin to prioritize what God says and thinks about you as who you are. Amen?
Amen.
So here are some of the prayer points. Beginning to, see, from now till Easter Sunday, I will encourage you to really consecrate this in prayer. Adopt this in a consecrated way. Pray Lord in the Spirit, worship the Lord, but apply this. I'm just telling you what God is doing in my personal life and what is speaking into the body. First, you must establish through prayer your identity. You are wearing the clothes of the children of men, but you are the children of God. You are the sons of God. That's why you're born again. You have to settle that in this season, that you are God's children. You have to change, through prayer, the worldly mindset. Worldly mindset is the very mindset the children of Israel carried out of Egypt. They still think they were slaves. And that's why they couldn't enter the promised land. They were still thinking with a worldly mindset, even though they were no more children of, they were no more the Egypt. Amen? God is saying we must surrender the mindset of the condition of Egypt. mindset, as you surrender it, you break the mindset of bondage and you start walking in the freedom of the sons of God. Romans 8. The Bible says in Revelation, as soon God did, He redeemed us with the blood of the Lamb and gave us two positions in the earth. He says He gave us the position of priests and kings. Priests as intercessors under the high priest. Kings as people who have been given their dominion in the earth. Amen? But that comes to. So those are the prayers. From slavery to sonship, mindset. From worldly mindset to kingdom mindset. This world should not be the limit of your expectation of supply. Amen?
Amen.
Change our mindset from, the Bible says, they, those are the Egyptian ones, they came from Passover, where the blood spoke to them, and when you understand Passover, it is easy for you to have a crossover. Because the children of Israel did not understand Passover, they went to where they were crossover and they were still crying that the Egyptians would kill them. The Passover is you have inherited a substitute for God's favor, God's provision, God's defense, and the Spirit of God goes before you. So every obstacle must be seen through the voice of the blood. Every situation that has to be reckoned with the blood that was substituted for your salvation. Somebody already died for your poverty. Somebody already died for your bondage. Somebody already, an animal, something has been exchanged for your condition in Egypt. What was exchanged has been given you full legal right in that blood. That blood is giving you access to cross over. You are a covenant child. Amen?
Amen.
That blood has given you access to favor in place of vengeance. That blood has given you access to favor. Amen?
Amen.
That blood has given you access to inheritance. My brothers and sisters, no parent labors all their lives, owns an estate, and dies and leaves it to servants. As long as we have a servant mentality, we never know that the things God gave to us are by grace. We'll still be walking for it. We'll still be walking to the righteous. We'll still be walking to be free from sin. We'll never and we'll never get out of that bondage. Everything has been accessed by grace through inheritance. Amen? And one of the promises is now we are led by the Spirit, just like we went by the cloud by day and the fire by night, the children of God. That's our prayer. And then, because we're entering a season, we are going also from wilderness to promise. What does that mean? When I said enough is enough, I was speaking to myself. Before I share what I'm sharing, I'm only just touching some surface here. When I came from prayer, God has been dealing with me a lot. And it's like saying, enough is enough. There are things we can suffer for by enjoying the time of things, but there are things that God is saying, take your authority. Amen?
Amen.
We are going from wilderness. What is wilderness? Scarcity. Dryness. Even in that dryness, you've been experiencing God. Even in that scarcity, you've been experiencing God. But God is saying, I'm now putting you into the place of your promise. The mindset of promise. That doesn't mean you don't fight the fight of faith. The devil does not release something if he doesn't believe you own it. Amen?
Amen.
We give up what we don't own after we fight a while. But if we own it, we don't give up until we win it. Once the devil is convinced that you own this thing, he will leave it. Resist him and he will leave it. Amen?
Amen.
That's the triumph of our faith. So God is calling us to contend for our inheritance.
Amen.
To contend for our promises.
Amen.
Precious, exceeding great and precious, to contend for it, to fight for it. We went through the book of, what is it, Joshua. They did not take the promise by just saying, claim it and name it. They exercised something.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
God is calling us to that.
Amen.
And then God is calling us from winter to spring. That's the book of Joel.
Amen.
The book of Joel, they were in a drought, a spiritual drought that has affected the whole land. And God says, I will bring physical rain and spiritual rain to quench, to bring you into your spring season.
Amen.
Into a new season.
Amen.
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 Like I said, God has been speaking this since 2019. But after the COVID, God says, I'm taking you to a new dimension.
Amen.
Beginning this year. For those who understand what COVID meant, God is saying, now press in because of where I'm going with things this year. Amen. So we're going to pray into these areas. I don't want you to not take these things and begin to contend for them. God is challenging us to come up a little bit higher. Maturity. Maturity. Amen.
Amen.
I use this between now and Easter Sunday. It's just pray. Just seek God content for this. So let's pray into these areas. Into these areas. First, I want you to settle this. It's all because of the blood.
Yes.
The blood speaks for you. Satan is absolutely neutralized when you begin to walk in the revelation of the blood. So, if you want to stand, if you want to, whichever way, but I want you to just take this one. It's something you have to adapt into your spirit. So, begin to pray and begin to ask God, begin to surrender, begin to yield. Father, I'm coming with you to that agreement with you, Holy Spirit. I give you permission to shift my mindset. I give you permission to give me a kingdom thinking, kingdom mindset. I give you permission to begin to shift every slave mentality in my thinking and begin to awaken my sonship. I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to overthrow every area of bondage, fear, limitation, accusation that keeps me condemned all the time. Help me, Holy Spirit. I surrender these areas. Give me a kingdom mind. Give me a sonship mind. Change my worldview. Change my mindset. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I'm a son. I'm a child of the living God. I belong to the kingdom that is above every other kingdom. It is no more God in knowledge. I want to become a reality. Mature my thinking. Mature my heart. Help me to surrender to your spirit. Help me to yield to you. Every drought in my heart and spirit, every spiritual drought, every dryness, I ask for a refreshing from heaven. I ask for fresh waters. I ask for the wind of revival in me. I ask for a refreshing.
Give
me understanding of Passover so that I can cross over the mountains and the obstructions, because I believe that your Lord has given me access to miracles. You are my Passover. So you are my crossover. You are my overcomer. You are my victor. You are my God. I don't go, you go before me. Though I pass through the waters, I know you are there. Though I pass through the fire, you lead me through. Though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, your staff is there. I am not my own. You are my Father. You are my God. I am not alone. Father, let my mindset among my Egypt, even though I live in this world, above my Egypt, Pharaoh is not my God. Pharaoh is not my master. Pharaoh is not my provider. God, you are my master, Jesus. You are my God. You are my deliverer. You provided the wilderness. You give me light. My mind on fire. God, my day. You will preserve me in this world. Myself to you in this season of Passover. Let the revelation of your blood become real once again. is no more condemnation to those who walk by your Spirit. Whatever we do, we say, we are in this world. If we sin, you say, just ask for forgiveness. And that blood cleanses us and washes us from all unrighteousness. And we move on as your sons and daughters. Because the blood is still the same yesterday. It's still the same today. It's still the same. You are my mediator. Jesus, you are faithful high priest. Who can be against us when you are for me? Father, open our eyes today to believe you, that your blood runs in our veins. We are children of the King. Not every other Passover. But Father, let this be, even as you reveal the activities in the heavens. Let us know that the King of Glory is knocking through the doors of our lives. You want to come true. You want to do something new. You want to break forth. You want to spring forth. You want to, oh God, you want to bring us into a fresh grave. This is our season. This is your time. And we welcome you, God. Have your way in this house, in our lives. Have your way. And receive all the glory. Receive all the praise. Receive all the honor and all the thanksgiving. Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please carry this prayer this few days to Easter Sunday. Just deep into it. Please. You will see why I'm saying this.